Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From the Jerome L. Green Performance Space here at WNYC, it's the Brian Lehrer Show. As we move now from the census to the subways and our fiscal crisis subway quiz, the MTA board is set to vote later this month on a series of proposed subway and bus cuts, a proposal to eliminate free fares for city students included, and yes, there's growing talk of another fare increase. And joining us to discuss all this in a different kind of way is WNYC's very own transportation reporter, Matthew Sherman. Actually, mostly, what's your title? Development reporter.
Economic Development and Transportation. Yeah.
And Gene Rushinoff, president of the Strap Hangers Campaign, the Subway Riders Advocacy Group. Those of you in the green space, how many times have you heard Gene Rushinoff without ever seeing him? Here he is. And listeners at home, same deal. When we're in the green space, you can watch this show live on streaming video. Go to WNYC.org. It is right on the homepage. And listeners, green space audience, we're going to structure this segment as a bit of a strap hangers news quiz. Some serious questions, some not as serious, but they will let us hear from Matthew and Gene about what's taking place with the MTA. So if you want to participate, listeners, call in right now, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or if you're in the audience here, raise your hand and we'll come to you. And for anybody who gets a question right, we're suspending our usual standards of three questions in a row for this special occasion. It'll just take one question to get right, and you'll get a green space tote bag appropriate to the occasion. So listeners, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. If you want to take our Green Space Fiscal Crisis Subway Quiz, and who wants to start right here in the audience? Raise your hand and we'll bring around a microphone. All right? Right down here in the front. I expected every hand to go up. There was one brave person in a red sweater. Okay, so we're just going to do a question here. On an average weekday, the New York City subways carry how many people? 1 million? 3.5 million? 7.5 million? Or 12 million a day? Which is the closest estimated number of average riders on an average weekday? 1 million, 3.5 million, 7.5 million, or 12 million?
3.5 million.
That is wrong.
Oh, no.
All right, we'll give one person a shot, but after that it's going to become too easy. One other person a shot, but after that it's going to become too easy. Frank in Brooklyn, did you hear the choices?
7.5 million.
7.5 million, Gene?
We're talking subways and buses together?
Well, let's see. I have it as subways. How do you know this stat?
Well, you know, it's between 7.5 and 8 million for subways and buses combined. It keeps bumping up and down, particularly because of the economy. And the subways have been as high as 4.3 million recently.
All right. And yes, 7.5 million is the answer. So it was a buses and subways combined figure, I guess. So Frank in Brooklyn, congratulations. What? Oh, the question is, okay, well,
You'll have to go to arbitration.
We're going to have to go to arbitration. Well, all right, well, we got that. My producer is telling me we got that from a New York Times stat as subways only. Gene may know better, so we will put that out to arbitration, as he says. But I think Frank in Brooklyn definitely gets a green space tote bag, that's for sure. So, Frank, great, and hang on, and you can give your address to our producers off the air, okay?
Okay.
Thanks a lot. You're a WNYC subway scholar. You want to talk a little bit more, Gene Rushinoff from the Strap Hangers Campaign, about that fluctuation? How has the recession affected ridership?
Well, I'd say two things. The first is it lowered overall ridership about 2 to 3% over the last year, which is still, you know, I don't know, 60 million rides. It's something large, but they're still moving people at record levels they haven't seen since 1968. And so people who think the subways are crowded and the buses are jammed, it's not your imagination. They're really at record levels. And until the recession, things were just sky high. Bus ridership has increased an astonishing 50% in the last 10 years, largely because of the free transfers between subways and buses.
And those of you listening on the radio, we are putting these questions with some accompanying visuals on a screen here in the green space, and you can see that on our live streaming video if you want to take a look at WNYC.org. It's right there on the homepage to stream video of this event. The slide that accompanies this question has the 1972 redesign of George Solomon's New York subway map by Italian designer Massimo Vignelli. Redesigned, and that is that's not a map we use anymore, right? This particular one, see that one, Gene?
Yeah, I remember it as a kid, but we haven't used it for a very long while.
Right. It was kind of, I don't know, kind of a little boxy. It didn't seem to represent all the curves and the twists and turns quite as well as what we use now. Matthew?
The other thing about this map is I think it's very popular among graphic artists because it does look pretty cool. But as you'll see, what they do here is they run each subway line has a different band. So if you see the 6th Avenue line there, that's sort of orange or so, it's very thick because you have a number of different subway lines right along 6th Avenue, and then as they peter out into Brooklyn, let's say, then they just become one band. And so that was actually, I understand, a big reason why they got rid of that and now have the a little sleeker map today.
All right, question number two. Anybody else here in the green space want to take a shot? It's interesting because people flood the phone lines when we do this. Maybe there's an anonymity factor.
It's that tote bag.
It's the tote bag. Nobody wants a green space tote bag. You came to the green space. I think it's the humiliation factor if you get it wrong.
Yeah. Well, also, they can look it up on the internet.
But really,
and we don't know. We can't tell if they're cheating.
Really, we're all in the same boat. Okay, we have a brave soul over here, and the next question is:
the MTA's budget shortfall, I'll guess it's $400 million.
And the multiple choice selections, and she could read the question because it's on the screen here, was in fact, how big is the MTA's budget shortfall? Our choices are $200 million, $400 million, $800 million, or $1 billion. That's the current budget year shortfall. And unfortunately, you were wrong. So let's give Andrew in Jackson Heights a shot here. Andrew, did you hear the choices?
Can you repeat them, please?
The budget shortfall for the MTA as it stands, $200 million, $400 million, $800 million, or $1 billion for the current fiscal year?
$200 million.
Sorry, Andrew. Thanks for trying. Andrew in Jackson Heights. I don't think that was Andrew Jackson in Jackson Heights. So, Matthew, the number is?
Right now, it's about $750 to $800 million for this year.
And what does that number represent? What does that mean? How do we put such an overwhelming number into a meaningful context?
Well, I should say that the woman who answered 400 isn't too far off, because what started out was it was going to be $400 million deficit for this coming year, and then late January, I think it was, they discovered another $400 million shortfall, so that comes up to about $750, $800. What does that mean? Well, the total operating budget of the MTA is somewhere around $11 billion. Right. And so we're talking about, not quite 10%, but getting there. We are talking about probably the budget of several transit agencies around the country. That's how much our shortfall is, would be enough to operate another transit agency in a smaller city. We're talking about such a shortfall that really right now the MTA actually has no idea how it's going to fill that gap, how it's going to cut service. All those service cuts that are on the table, they were invented so many months ago, back in December, that they will just take care of, $60 million for this year and maybe $130 million for next year. So, again, just a very small fraction of what they need to do.
Matthew, stay with that for a second and tell us, with that stat that you revealed. How did we double the shortfall in 6 months? 6 months ago, we were already at what was perhaps the bottom of the recession and, in some respects, the fiscal crisis. And in 6 months' time, the MTA shortfall has just about doubled from about $400 million to $800 million for the current fiscal year. How did we get there in 6 months?
A large part of it, Brian, is that budgeting is always based on estimates. And what's happened here is the MTA assumed they were going to get a certain amount of money, largely because of this payroll tax that was part of the whole bailout that the state legislature passed last May. But in part because the economy is a lot more rotten than the state ever expected, and in part because people don't seem to be sending in those checks to pay the payroll tax, finally the MTA has said, we just can't assume that we're getting all of that money. That money is going to be shy of about $250 million. And then there are a lot of other, you know, your MetroCard pays on average just about half of the cost of what it takes to get you from point A to point B, and the rest of it is made up by various taxes, a very small percentage of a tax on a sale, on a sales tax, for example, a lot of property transfers, etc. So and then this new payroll tax. So there are other shortfalls, like with the sales tax and property tax, that have just turned out to be a lot worse than people ever estimated.
And a correction, I think I misheard you to say 6 months the shortfall has doubled. It's 6 weeks. Gene, for heaven's sakes.
Well, you know, I think for a lot of people, it's mystifying how the MTA's budget goes up, their surpluses some years, and how it goes down, and their deficits. What the truth of it is they're creatures of the regional and even national economy. And so when their dedicated taxes, as Matthew was saying, don't come in on target, it creates giant holes in their budgets. For example, on the real estate tax, there's a mortgage recording tax and a real property transfer tax. They're coming in a couple of years ago, they raised $1.2 billion. This year, they're raising $400 million. And that's just the reality to it. So while there are things about the MTA that drive people crazy and there are improvements that could be made in its management, the bulk of its problem is just a creature of the local economy, and it's getting whacked.
Is Albany, which, of course, has its own problems, technically the MTA has its own independent budgeting, but is the state government out of its budget going to come in and help this time as it has in the past? Is stimulus money usable for the subways? What are some of the options here?
Well, we in the city council strongly support the use of stimulus money. It's about $121 million, and it doesn't solve the entire problem, but it would go a long way to blunting some of the cuts. And the MTA has been very resistant. They want to use the money for capital projects, which are not bad, you know, new subway cars and buses and track and signal. But we're in a crisis now, and the whole point of stimulus is to get you through the hard times. So other cities in America, Washington, D.C., Chicago, Seattle, St. Louis, Atlanta, they're all using some portion of their stimulus, up to 10%, to keep their trains and subways running. I think the big question for people who are watching the MTA is what the hell is going to happen on student MetroCards? Because, you know, that's a giant issue that affects many hundreds of thousands of families around the city. And what's happened there is that the current crisis started when the state cut its contribution in December to virtually nothing, to $6 million, when before they had been giving 45 and the city 45. And so I think somehow, given the potency of this issue politically, that the state and the city are going to have to figure out ways to provide more assistance to the MTA to move the school kids. 585,000 school kids, that's an expensive thing to do.
And as somebody said the other day, whoever heard of a community charging students to get on the yellow school bus? If this is our equivalent of the yellow school bus, it should be seen as the moral equivalent. Let's go on to the next question in our subway fiscal crisis quiz. Brad in Long Island City, you ready for a question?
Shoot.
Okay. Every year, the Strap Hangers campaign, represented by our guest Gene Rushinoff, ranks the city's subway lines according to six criteria: amount of scheduled service, regularity of service, breakdown rate, chance of getting a seat, interior cleanliness, and in-car announcements. In 2009, the last survey published, which train line won the overall title as best in the system?
Oh, boy.
That's what I say.
And we have a single winner, right?
We have a single winner. Can you name that train? That subway line.
Number one overall. Boy, seven?
It is the number seven line. Ding, 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 ding. If you didn't know that in Long Island City, Brad, you were really going to be embarrassed.
You're my hero.
And, Brad, do you ride the number seven train?
I haven't since the first year that I moved down here. I'm actually taking the E train now.
Okay. How would you rate the E train, just very briefly, on some of those categories we mentioned?
It's good for the most part. They've got the new cars now running, which is a nice thing. The worst part is during rush hour, the first two cars are like sardine cans from Penn Station until Fifth Avenue.
So you need one of those apps that tells you which cars are going to have the most available seats. Brad, thanks a lot for playing, and hang on. We'll take your address off the air and send you a green space bag.
Thanks a lot.
If I could say, the 7 is a line that used to be best many years ago and then had a bad period and has climbed back up. And I think that's largely due to management innovation that the MTA put in place in the last 2 years. There's now actually a line general manager for each one of the 23 subway lines in the system. Their picture and their name and a way to contact them are up on the MTA's website. And there's a much greater level of accountability. So I think that's made a positive difference in the performance of several lines, and one of them is the 7.
All right. George, on the Upper West Side, bonus question. Which one was the worst last year?
I think it was the F.
Oh, sorry, George. Nice try. We went to George on the Upper West Side because it was, in fact, Gene Reshinoff.
I'm trying to look back and see what...
The C train. Why was the C train the worst?
Well, it's a train that at best comes every 10 minutes, and so the service is really slow and poor. And they have very old cars, which tend to break down at a higher rate than the other cars. I'm proud to say that my line, the R, used to be the worst, and then it's crawled its way out of the bottom of the system.
Yes, we have the chart on our screen right now. Those of you watching via streaming video can see in recent years the 7 was the best line. According to the Strap Hangers campaign last year, the L the year before that, the 1 the year before that, the 6 train won the 3 years before that, and on down, and you have a concentration on the worst category of C's, N's, and W's for the most part. We will continue in a minute with more of our Fiscal Crisis Subway Quiz live from the Jerome L. Green Performance Space here at WNYC. Give us a call if you want to play, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Jerome L. Green Performance Space here at WNYC. We've got our 2010 Fiscal Crisis Subway Quiz underway with WNYC's development and transportation correspondent Matthew Sherman and Gene Reshinoff, executive director of the Riders Advocacy Group, the Strap Hangers Campaign. Okay, we have a player in the house for question number 4. One of the proposed cuts to the system would eliminate the M line. The M's first stop in Brooklyn is currently the Marcy stop in Bedford-Stuyvesant. Two other lines also run through the Marcy stop, and put together, these two lines spell the name of one of New York's most famous musicians. What are those two lines, and who is that musician? That's a little bit of a complicated question, so I'll run through it again real briefly. At the Marcy stop in Bedford-Stuyvesant, one of the trains is the M. In fact, that one is under consideration for elimination with the cuts. Two other lines also run through the Marcy stop, and put together, those two lines spell the name of one of New York's most famous musicians. What are those two lines, and who is that musician?
Can she ask for a lifeline?
Maybe.
W and R.
Let's see. Maybe you'll ask for a lifeline, and if somebody gets it, I'm just going to go for a Brooklyn caller here, but though I don't know where in Brooklyn. All right, Peter in Brooklyn, if you can name that musician, you and our green space Lifeline requester will both get green space bags. Peter, can you come through for her?
Yeah, it's J, the M, the M, and the Z, right? MRC?
That's for you to tell me.
I think it is.
So who's the musician?
Oh, man.
All right. Nice try. Nice try. He almost did it just by trying to see what's going on. All right. Somebody else down here in the green space?
Jay-Z.
It is Jay-Z. Who, for those of you who don't know, grew up in the Marcy Projects and took his name from his local subway stop. Current riders on that line sometimes complain about the service on the JMZ by calling it the Slow Jams as well, JAMZ. And under the current plan, the J would be replaced by extended V service. But did you guys know that about Jay-Z?
Yeah, although I've heard that some people argue his name is Jay-Z because it was Jazzy as a youngster. So, but I like the subway story better. So.
Well, that's what our research tells us. So,
I happen to be on the M line on the other end of it in Southern Brooklyn in Park Slope and Sunset Park and Bay Ridge, and we're really going to get slammed by this cut. They're actually planning to cut 24 stations, the M train, from stopping at 24 stations. And during a typical morning rush hour, about 15 of the runs, 15 of the full train sets go through, and they'll just disappear the day the cut happens. And the R train, which is the one line that remains there, will be unbelievably crowded. And so I think that's part of the flavor. The president of New York City Transit said these were the worst cuts he's seen in 35 years in the business. And when you look at them individually, they're pretty horrible. The one that hits home with me is there's a route in Staten Island, which is admittedly lightly used. It's the S60, and it goes up a place called Grimes Hill. The MTA admits in their description of the cut that if the bus line goes, people will have 15 to 25 minutes to walk to the nearest bus. And we're talking about an icy hill in winter with no sidewalks. So it's really, truly, truly horrible.
Sheldon in Forest Hills, you ready for a quiz question?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay.
By the way, let me just say something. That young woman who answered the first question, she answered it correctly. Because it was around $3.5 to $4 million. So you were wrong.
Yeah. Well, we will continue. All right, you know what? We're going to give you a green space bag just for coming and arguing your case. Because, Sheldon, you have got her smiling and nodding, and she's saying yes. Though our experts on stage say that is four-week-old information. All right, Sheldon, what's the more expensive fare, New York or Boston?
Boston.
Sorry. New York at $2.25. Boston at $1.70.
And it's even worse when you compare. There's a standard statistic in the transit industry, the percentage that the fare box covers of the costs of running the system. And New York's is the highest in the country. In Boston, you get on a train, you pay about 33% of the costs. The rest are picked up by levels of government. In New York, you get on a train or a bus, you're paying about 55% of the cost of your trip.
Tom and Astoria, we have a bonus question on that one. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Which is the more expensive fare, New York or Chicago?
Chicago.
Sorry. Trick question. They are both 2.25. Anybody else in the green space want to take a quiz? All right, because we can keep going down. These phone callers, we have packed phones and a lot of shy people. Was it Garrison Keillor who said that public radio is for shy people? I guess so, because you come to the audience. There's a brave, shy person. Hi. All right, next question is, one of the proposed cuts, no, we did that one. A recent program at four stations on the A and C lines installed clocks that count down to a train's arrival. This program joins an already existing program on what line?
I think that's the L.
It is the L line. Yes. Give that woman a green space bag. Does that encourage anybody else in the room to want to try a question? Or maybe not. All right. So let's go to Brendan in Manhattan. Hi, Brendan.
Hi, Brian.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right. In Washington, D.C., Subway fares are calculated according to the distance traveled. The minimum fare is $1.75. Guess the maximum fare within a quarter.
$4.25
is the guess, and that is not right. Anyone here want to try it? Any guess? Yes, right over there. Maximum fare in D.C.
$5.75
is not right. We'll try one more person. Mitchell in Manhattan, you want to take a shot at it? Okay, Mitchell has his radio on, hearing the delay.
Yeah.
Cassius in Bed-Stuy, you want to take a shot at that?
I guess I'd say $3.75.
Nice try, Cassius. Sorry about that. The answer is the maximum fare, and the first questioner, the first respondent was close. The maximum fare in Washington, D.C. is $4.60. So within a quarter, they would have had to be within $4.35 to $4.85. Has the city, Matthew, ever, or the MTA, ever considered a graduated fare structure? Is that one possible way to raise money, to your knowledge?
To my knowledge, not really. There was a New York Times article that mentioned that Jay Walder, the current chairman, was considering it, or would possibly considering it, but my understanding is that's not really anywhere on the radar right now.
Would that ever be a good thing in the Straphangers campaign? I can get on the A train at 207th Street in upstate Manhattan and take it all the way out to the Rockaways, 2 hours later get off at the beach, and that's worth the same $2.25 as going from Penn Station to Port Authority?
It's one of those things that New Yorkers take great pride in about their system, that it has a flat fare for its whole length, that it's open up 24 hours a day, which virtually no system in the world is, and it has express and local service. People are astonished to find out that New York is one of the few cities in the world whose subway system has express. We've had one since 1904, and New Yorkers have been hyper for a very long period of time. And when the Transit Authority, this is a bit of history, but when the Transit Authority was created in 1953, a special law was passed that said that for a zonal system of fares, you'd need the mayor's approval. And that was definitely put in there so that it would never happen. And, you know, people in New York bought homes, rented apartments, went in school districts, all with the notion that it was going to cost them the same thing wherever they were. And they've made plans for decades along these lines. I did grow up in what was known as a two-fare zone, where you had to pay one token to take the bus to the train and then another token to get on the train. So our fare was higher, and now, of course, the transfers are free.
Actually, let me just correct myself. The Times article mentioned peak and off-peak fares for the subway. They weren't talking about zones at that time, but that, too, is apparently off the table.
Last question in our fiscal crisis subway quiz. Jose in Jersey City, you ready?
Yes. How can you explain a budget shortfall when we are talking, or they are talking, that currently they are serving more people? That means that there are more customers using the public transportation, means more profit, more income. So why the shortfall?
It is a great question. And, Jose, you can stay on the line if you want to take a quiz question. But we're running out of time. But I think the short answer is only a certain percentage of operating funds come from the fare, and the rest come from real estate recording taxes and other sources. What percentage, Gene, does come from the fare?
About 55%. When you break it down, it's much higher on the subways. It's about 68%, and the buses are 45%. But there's no system really in the world that is 100% supported by the fare box, because everybody realizes that there's a benefit to the city in terms of air quality and commerce, tourism. So it is the highest in the country.
It's sort of like the performing arts. Your opera ticket only pays for half the cost of putting on the opera, and as they expand, add more operas, they're actually losing money, and they need more donors to make up the difference.
All right, last question, and Jose went away, so he doesn't want to hang around and take a quiz question. Anybody in the green space want it? Okay, here we go. You ready? The question is, the so-called subway challenge entails an attempt to ride the entire New York City subway system in as little time as possible. On December 28, 2006, the Subway Six, a group of former classmates at Regis High School in Manhattan, set the record. How long did it take them within 1 hour to ride the entire subway system?
Okay, I have no idea, but you just said the A-train train takes 2 hours, so it's got to be more than that.
That was rough. Do you know the A-train length? Would it take two hours to get out?
I think it's a little on the long side.
A little on the long side.
But anyway, so. I'll just multiply. Eight.
Eight is not right. Anyone else? Within 1 hour? All right. Artem in the Bronx. Did I say your name right?
Yeah, you did.
Give me a shot at it.
Is it writing every single line?
Yeah, you have to pass every subway station once.
14.
Nice try. It took them 24 hours, 54 minutes, and 3 seconds, breaking the previous record by nearly 1.5 hours. I'm also told they competed in the Class B division as defined by the Amateur New York Subway Riding Committee, which requires you to stop at each station. The record for the skip stop division, which allows you to take express trains, is pretty close to that, 24 hours and 3 minutes. Now, I want to thank WNYC Development and Transportation Correspondent Matthew Sherman and Gene Rushinoff, Executive Director of the Strap Hangers Campaign, for informing us on what's going on with the fiscal crisis and how it affects the MTA right now, and talking about some of the issues, as well as helping to administer our fiscal crisis subway quiz. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More from the Green Space in a minute.